Faith Inspiring Radio. This is UCB Ireland.
Guys, joining me on the show today, I have a man who really needs no introduction, but we'll give him one anyway. It's the legend, the man, myth and legend, living legend that is Mitch from Crown Jesus Ministries. Mitch, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Oh, pleasure. And I apologize to you and your listeners the last couple of times we had tried to connect and it just hasn't happened. And the last time it absolutely was my fault. So that's a public apology, but so glad to connect with you today. You've done a great job, as is UCB Ireland and UCB UK. Love the UCB family. So it's a privilege just to connect in, and hopefully your listeners will be encouraged by our convo.
I have no doubt that they will be encouraged. Make sure all we have to do is just listen to you talk about what Jesus is doing around the globe. You've become and I say this respectfully because it's all about Jesus, but you have become a hero around the globe for the kingdom. It's a privilege to kind of watch what Crown Jesus Ministries are doing on the island of Ireland and beyond, and we might talk about that in a moment, but also just to see how God is using you around the globe to equip evangelists, to equip the church, to equip the saints for service, to just make his name known. And it's a really, really beautiful thing. But let's just bring it back home for a minute and just talk about some of the things that are happening on the island with CGAM. Tell us the highlights.
Oh, honestly, well, first and foremost, thank you for your kind words. I mean, I have found, Tim, that in ministry, success is fairly closely married to consistency. Just keep showing up. Find out what your assignment is that God has given you to do, and stick at it. And those who are fleeting and pursuing whatever they're pursuing, whether it's financial gain or success or popularity, is just not how the kingdom works. The kingdom's just about just being obedient to what God calls you to do. And so I'm so thankful that Crown Jesus is a fabulous team, and I get to be a part of that team. Our heart, for those listening who don't know, our heart is that everybody in the island of Ireland will have the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel, and in that our heart is to make disciples, because at the end of the day, Tim, that's the assignment that God has given all of us. Jesus didn't ask us actually to do anything else. Go and make disciples. He said, I will build my church and you go make disciples. So we get the privilege to play that part of discipleship, where it's in connecting with the not yet Christian and sparking some conversation and some thoughts in their mind of who is God? What is he like? Can he be known? Does he love me? What does he think of me? Does he have a plan for me in this life? And it's been tremendous. I have to say, in my 30-something years of doing evangelism, 26 of those with Crown Jesus, I have never seen a hunger and response to the gospel in the island of Ireland like I have in the last 2-3 years, without a doubt. And there's lots of interesting things in that. Tim, I'm not a wild statistics guy. I'm more interested in gathering people and statistics. But sometimes, the observations are there. So if you go back to September last year, which is 8 months ago or something like that, we've seen over 100 days, we've seen 320 people respond to the gospel across the island, north and south. Now, actually, the year before was similar. In fact, the year before was possibly a little bit higher. But this is the really interesting thing. Of those 320 people who responded to the gospel, but 100 of them, Tim, were men and women in their 30s and 40s. And that's where we're really starting to see a kicker. And the evidence at the start of this year, we haven't got to that 100 day, we're almost there. But from the start of this year, we're seeing exactly the same thing again. In fact, if I go back over the last 4 weeks, I think we've seen about 130-something people respond. And if you take out of that the big youth event where there was 92 responded, almost everybody else, again, was people in their 30s and 40s. And that's happening with projects in Wicklow, more recently in Project in Mayo. We were in Mayo 3 Sundays ago, in Westport. Small church with maybe have 20, 25 people on a Sunday. We did an outreach with them on a Sunday night. Over 100 people came to the hotel, had to use the overflow room. I've seen over a dozen people responding to the gospel. And it's just, there's two things I think happening. And forgive me if I'm talking maybe a bit too long, but there's two things that I think are happening in this moment. One is that people are just disappointed and disillusioned with all the promises that science might be the solution, or governments might give us the answer, social media might solve our problems, AI is the new future. And people are just disappointed, I think, with all of those things. You use what's the truth, you know, does BBC or RTE, of what are they telling us the truth, you know, all of that. And there's a disappointment, and people are looking for hope. You know what Hebrews 6:19, beautiful little verse, says, we have this hope, a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain and into the sanctuary. And it's a fascinating picture, Tim. You know, that picture of an anchor. We all think of, you know, on a boat and you throw the anchor down. But this picture is different. This is an anchor that you cast upwards into the sanctuary of God. And he leads us, draws us closer to him. And people are finding a hope in Jesus that does not disappoint, as Paul put it. I think a second thing going around that is, you know, there's people's disappointment, disillusionment. And the second thing is the Holy Spirit is just doing something significant, and in response to the prayers of God's people. So it's an honour and privilege to just serve the church in Ireland, north and south. I was nearly going to say it, and yeah, we'll say it, particularly the south of Ireland. My heart is strangely worn by what God is doing across the Republic of Ireland.
It's a beautiful thing, and you know this, and I'm saying this probably more so for the benefit of our listeners than anything else. Like, the church is, by design, an unstoppable force that's empowered by an unlimited resource. And we're called to gather, we're called to scatter, we're called to grow, we're called to make Jesus known, we're called to lead people into a relationship with the Trinity and then teach them to live in the way that Jesus taught his disciples to live. And we've just had this incredible weekend, Mitch, where, you know, we've had all of our churches, you know, celebrating the life, death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who died on the tree, hung on the tree, who took his final breath and said, it is finished, but yet he wasn't finished. And it's this beautiful thing that we come in and we have this Silent Saturday, and no doubt people, you know, who are listening today still feel like they might be in that Silent Saturday. God, are you there? Can I hear you? What's going on? And then we come into Sunday and we have this risen King. We have this celebration of God doing what he promised he would do. Sin conquered, death conquered, and then the resurrected Christ walking the earth. And that's a really, like, defining moment for a lot of people. There's a lot of people who've said yes to Christ over the weekend. There's a huge momentum being generated because of what happened in the weekend. And then for a lot of people, they come in the Monday and Tuesday, particularly in the church, and it's almost like that Elijah moment on the mountain. You know, they have this extreme high of just ministry and life and excitement, and then they come into Monday and it's like, vroom, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? How do we even just begin to walk with people who said yes to Jesus? But how do we, and also probably a whole caveat of kind of questions coming at you all at once in your head. Tim, what are you trying to say? You know, how do we build momentum from Sunday into Monday into Tuesday into Wednesday so that we're continuing to be the church? We have this huge kind of outward focus in the lead up to Easter. But how do we then continue that outward focus beyond Easter? And where do Crown Jesus Ministries come into all of that for us in the church in Ireland?
Yeah, look, some great observations in that, Tim. Probably, you know, a few loaded sort of things in there to pick up on. One is that we have to remember that the secret, and I guess it's not a secret in some respect, of successful church is in community, not in events. And sometimes we get so event driven, and then you don't, as you kind of put it, stack the dominoes up in the momentum, you know, of like the what's next, because you're feeling like we need to have another event. We've just finished Easter. Oh, we forgot to announce, you know, our next event. But what we need to invite people to is not systems and programs, but actually just invite them to community and people. And then there's just a nice rhythm in community where it doesn't have to be big. It can just be you and I and in a coffee shop, you know, and just have being authentic. And one of the things that's really struck a chord with me in the past 5 or 6 years, and I'm doing a little bit of work with my pastor, Charlotte Curran, and CFC to develop this further, but it's the idea of rapid response teams. And the story behind this, Tim, for the benefit of your listeners, I was a firefighter for 16 years. And just toward the end of my time, we put a fire out one night on Eglinton Avenue in Belfast about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And then that would usually be my job over as a firefighter. And then the next thing, this little camper van pulled up with St. John's Ambulance stickers and fire brigade stickers on it. And I thought, what is that? And I asked the boss, I said, what is it? He said, that's the new, it wasn't the phrase that he used, but I'm going to use it, rapid response team. And I said, well, what do they do? He said, well, see that little family that just lost their home? They'll go into the back and they'll get like a pot noodle and a coffee and a Mars bar and blankets, and they'll make phone calls for their next of kin. They'll take care of them in these immediate response, in this immediate time of response after being rescued. And I thought, gosh, that's tremendous. And in the last couple of years, I was actually over in London speaking at a conference, and I was about to get on the tube, and you hear that echo down the corridor in the tube station, mind the gap. And I thought, I need to do a better job. We need to do a better job at minding the gap between this, you know, people responding to the gospel and becoming disciples, from people going to events and becoming part of the community. How do we mind the gap? And so we're working on a bit of a program at the minute that we're actually calling a rapid response team. So the picture of that is that rather than we just have resources to dump people or try and, you know, figure out what the next event is, oh, come to Alpha, which doesn't start maybe until September. Well, that's a bit far away, to be honest, for anybody who's wanting to explore the Christian faith sooner, is actually to have trained teams in our churches. You can imagine, you're a pastor, Tim, if you had 5 couples in your church who were trained as rapid response teams, and a Mitch comes in and wants to find out more, or he does say yes to Jesus, that you can assign that couple for a period of 4 to 5 weeks that will bring them to church on a Sunday, meet them for a coffee, help them to understand the Bible, prayer, what church is, why it's important, how to serve in the church. And so I think there's something in that where, you know, to answer the question, forgive me if it's a long answer, but for some of us in our churches today, if you're a churchy kind of person listening, to go like, let's work harder at community and welcoming all kinds of people into our community rather than just being event driven.
Let me encourage you, Mitch. I'm a product of a rapid response team.
There
and
you go.
So a mutual friend of ours, Andy McCourt.
Yep.
So when I suggest Jesus, and made that moment, I know our listeners can't see us, but you can see me with my hands in the air, that I literally walked down the side of the Millennium Forum with my hands in the air saying, I surrender, because I'd been fighting with Jesus for a while. Growing up in a nationalist community, attending a church that wasn't reflective of the nationalist community, but reflective of all communities is probably the best way to say it. You know, it was just a foreign concept, and I'm fighting it, and I'm fighting it, and I'm fighting it. And so I had no understanding of what it meant to be a disciple, no understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm walking down the side of the Millennium Forum up to Andy, and Andy, you know, celebrates, prays with me, and he says, I want you to meet somebody. And he aligns me with a brilliant couple called Paul and Paul de Kock and his beautiful wife, whose name's just gone from me right now, and may God forgive me, because I've known them for 20 years. And so these guys then become my rapid response team. I said yes to Jesus at lunchtime, and I was having dinner with them in their home at dinner time. And then it was, hey, what are you doing during the week? Let's hang out. Let's go for a coffee. And then that became, and so there's great meet, great weight, great opportunity for what you're describing. And I think actually, you know, we use the phrase new people's processes. We kind of have these systems where we're thinking about next steps and all of those things. But actually, maybe in those larger environments, we're missing the opportunity to position people
so
unique relationships where they can actually grow.
So true, Tim. And you know, if you go back to, you know, the statistics are still, even though at the minute we're seeing some encouraging signs of those in the 30s and 40s, but the statistics for the past, whatever, you know, 100 years have been the vast majority of people say yes to Jesus in around that teenage years, you know, 14 to 18, 14 to 19 age group. But if you go back, Tim, to before the days where everybody had employed youth workers. Well, who took charge of that? It seemed to be, in most cases, it was couples who had young families in the church who stepped into the void and took responsibility, and they would have had, they opened their homes. And so we've employed over the years youth workers, and sometimes that's been detrimental to community, because you've employed a youth worker, those volunteers say, well, you're employed to do the job now. And what those young people who are now of a youth worker do is they run events on a Friday and a Saturday night. Now, that's not to be critical of their events, but we've missed the sort of beauty of, and I was the same. I came to Christ when I was 19, and you know that Stephen and Jan Knox, who had a, you know, young kids of their own, opened their house every Thursday night. A bunch of us teenagers just like jumped in, and most of our theology was completely up the left. But they were very gracious and kind, and opened the Bible and prayed with us and fed us, you know, chocolate hobnobs and a good cup of tea, you know. So those things have, I think we've missed a bit of that, you know, in our church life. We need to recapture that rather than being all Sunday driven or, you know, whatever else. I met a lady some years ago in Kenya, and she's a church of 2,000 people. And she said, the reason why I have 2,000 on a Sunday is because I've got 2,000 in small groups on a Wednesday night. She said, if you join my church, you join a small group. Sunday's optional. She said, everybody wants to come on a Sunday, but that's the option. It's optional. Wednesdays is the priority, because in the small group is where you'll do community. It's where you'll encounter Christ. It's where you'll grow. Sunday we get to celebrate what God's doing on a Wednesday. I thought that just turns on its head. Most of us think, you know, about Sunday being the priority.
Yeah, I suppose for many people we think Sunday as the shop window, and if we can just get people to Sunday, something will happen. But then actually what actually happens is actually, you know, on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like you probably heard the guys from SEU Worship, and they talk about Sunday morning faith. But actually what God wants is a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And if we can actually get into the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday will naturally happen anyway. And that God's not looking for a Sunday morning faith. And then all if all that we have is a Sunday morning faith, then we're actually missing the point of what we're called to, which is a discipleship journey, a life in fellowship following the Lord Jesus Christ. Mitch, I'm conscious of time, and I want to just touch on, if you'll allow me to, some things that are coming up with CGM in the future. I'm aware personally that you're coming to the promised land. We're going to be meeting in Cookstown on the 20th of April in one of the hotels. Steve has put it together that pastors and leaders from the promised land, the county of Tyrone, come on somebody, that we're getting a touch from CGM, believing that we're going to get a touch from the Lord. So I'm aware of that that's going on, but what else can we get excited about that's coming up in the future?
Yeah, no, great. So just again, for clarity for some of you, there's the bulk of what we do is what we call partner church projects, where we go county by county and we serve churches in the area. So we just finished a project in Mayo where we work with, I think it was 10 churches in Mayo. Before that, we were in Wicklow, and yes, we're heading to Tim's neighborhood Nick. So we are very excited about that. That's an important part of what we do, because that's leaves a little bit of legacy, working for a couple of months in one area, evangelism training, outreach events for all the ages, that works well. Aside from that, Tim, our schools team are forever busy. You know, last year we did 324 schools visits in the year. And in fact, if you go back to that 100 days that I talked about in September, we did 120 something schools visits in 100 days. And you know, you factor into that Saturdays and Sundays. It means that the team are pretty much every day in a school. So there's lots of schools programs that are still on the horizon. Although when exams hit, they do tend to quieten off in high schools, but primary schools, they're forever busy. So pray for the team in that. We've got a project, just a short weekend project coming up in Cork, and some of the team are going to be down there in June. We have a missions team coming over from Kansas City, will be joining us in June as well. So they come over every year and work with us. So part of that project will be in Northern Ireland and potentially some of it in the Republic. Then around Pentecost Sunday, we're doing a conference for 4 days at Hope Chapel Lane. So Hope Chapel Lane is a mission centre we run in Belfast. We get about 130 people each Sunday night. Many of them are former addicts. They come from all tribes, Protestant, Catholic, all backgrounds, and just encounter the love of God. So we're excited for Pentecost Sunday. We've got couple of guests coming in for that. Maria Gilpin's going to join us one night for worship. Larry Sparks is flying in from the States, good friend of mine, to speak at that conference as well. So that's all in around Pentecost Sunday. So yeah, lots on the horizon. I've got a little trip to Portugal as well. I go there every year, teach at a Bible college, and then we go to Fatima and do some evangelism, worship and prayer on the streets in Fatima during that time of the festival at Fatima. So that's a great time just to love people, listen to them, pray with them.
Beautiful stuff, Mitch. We will be praying for you. We'll be praying for your team, particularly your school's team. We'll be praying for you as you head to Portugal, suffering for Jesus in the sun, no doubt. And we're so grateful to you and your team and all that you're doing for the kingdom. And may the Lord
Yes.
bless you and cause his face to shine upon you
Oh,
in
bless
all
you.
that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, good to see you, my friends.
Thank you. God bless everyone. Bye-bye.
Take us with you wherever you go. UCB Ireland.